Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now, we're going to talk some Badger football with Benjamin Wargel. You can find his work over at badgerswire.usatoday.com, and he joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Benjamin, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Ben.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Ben. Badger season starting off here. What do you think of this non-conference schedule that they're rolling out this year? Do you like it? I know in the years to come it's going to improve terrifically, but what do you think of this for Paul Chris 2019 team?
It's typical. Two kind of relatively easy games at home, and then you're going to play a game away from Camp Randall. And I like that game comes right away week one. I think that will test this team. You know, we saw Wisconsin have such high expectations in the last season, and they really never met those all year long. You know, just an 8-5 record. They really didn't play all that well in their wins. They looked bad in a lot of their losses. But yet you end the year on such a high note when you beat Miami in that Pinstripe Bowl in New York that you thought, okay, maybe that can help this team kind of launch forward a little bit. And I think spring football was more work-focused rather than just trying to get to the end of spring, that you really use that 15 practices to try to get better. And then this fall camp has been about trying to refine these different roles that were vacated by some pretty good players. And how this schedule sets up for them is that you open on the road, you're going to get tested in a way that's going to be different to this team than it would be if they're preparing to play a game at home.
South Florida.
Then you play Central Michigan. Then you have your bye week. And I think that's going to be a very interesting focal point, because then you're going to have these two non-conference games where you can maybe be a little vanilla, work on some different things, different personnel. Then you have a week off to refine that. And then you have Michigan coming to Camp Randall for your Big Ten opener. I think that's, with the way the schedule sets up for them, I don't think it could be better. So it's not a very entertaining non-conference schedule. There's no really big names on it. But I think for this team and this situation this team is in, it sets up fairly well.
Just odd, though, as you kind of detailed the first part of it there, South Florida, Central Michigan, or South Florida bye week after the Central Michigan game, Michigan, then, third game of the season, Big Ten, you got a tough game at Camp Randall, and then Northwestern, and Northwestern is always, you know, that's always a difficult when you, whether it's down there or here. And then the fifth week of the season, they go back in an odd conference and play Kent State. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think what they wanted to do when they got the – because you get the Big Ten schedule years in advance. Mm-hmm. I think the Big Ten schedule is even out through 2025. I could be wrong on that, but it's certainly out in advance. And you see the schedule, how it lays out. It's actually a smart move for Wisconsin that instead of taking their bye in week five after you've played – you know, three non-conference games, Michigan and Northwestern, you take your bye in week three to prepare for Michigan and Northwestern, so you're a little bit fresher, and then you play that third non-conference game kind of there in early October, late September. It's actually, I think, a very smart move by the schedule makers, because you have, like I said, you have your Big Ten schedule, then you kind of fill in the pieces around that. And Wisconsin's had some of these games kind of lined up a little bit, but having that flexibility with maybe week three we could play this game, or maybe not too far down the road in week six, it actually is going to work out, I think, fairly well for them, that they'll go into the Michigan game healthy, which is two games of tape for Michigan to look at instead of three.
Talking with Ben Wargel, you can find his work at Badger's Wire. Ben, what could we expect from Quintez Cephas on the football field this year?
I think that's going to kind of be the million-dollar question of when Cephas is going to be eligible to play. I know he's back at practice, made his kind of season practice debut yesterday. The coaches and the players that talked about it says it's like having a long-lost brother or cousin or friend kind of return. And you know, it's going to add a jolt to this locker room. without question, because Cephas is a very talented football player. He's a very athletic wide receiver. I mean, you look at what he did 2 years ago, despite missing the last five games of the season. He led the team in touchdowns, was third on the team in catches, and second on the team in yards. So he's a very big impact player. When will we see him? You know, I think time will tell. The university is working with the NCAA through eligibility issues after he missed all of last season. Now, he technically didn't redshirt yet as a college football player, so can Wisconsin use last season as his redshirt year? I think that's going to be the goal, to have him have 2 years of eligibility remaining. Will we see him next Friday? I think that's going to be a little aggressive. I don't think we will. Possibly the Central Michigan game, but I definitely think by the time Michigan comes to Camp Randall, Cephas should have any lingering eligibility issues fixed, and then he'll probably will make his season debut probably in one of those two games. But what will he add? I think he'll add a spark. He'll add a boost to the wide receiving core, and he'll add another friendly face to a young Wisconsin quarterback who certainly will need all the options he can get.
What could the NCAA possibly do to stand in his way from playing as far as eligibility?
It's the NCAA, Chuck. Yeah. You just never know. UW has been very vague on what eligibility issues he's working through. Mm-hmm. One would think that after he missed all of last season, going through his criminal case, I mean, the suspension from the team, the expulsion from the university, those last two things have been cleared up. Obviously, he's been readmitted. That's been a big storyline. He's back with the team. He's been found not guilty, which is probably the biggest thing of this whole equation for him, is that he is, there's probably a stigma attached to his name, but a jury of his peers found him not guilty of two counts of sexual assault. So by the rule of the law, he's free and clear. The NCAA should readmit him and make him a redshirt junior. But, again, I don't know all of the workings of the NCAA. Few people do. Each case is unique. So what the NCAA is looking at with his eligibility, that's a question that we don't have the answer to.
Ben, you brought up the young quarterbacks. The other guy we're all waiting to see is obviously Graham Mertz. How's he looked in practice? Is he mentally grasping the pro-style offense? And should we expect to see him this year or definitely not? He's not getting on the field.
I don't know if I would say definitely not. Based on how the reps have been distributed and now practice was closed prior to this week, Jack Cohen has taken all of the reps with the ones, and Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf have kind of mixed in with the two, some drills with the ones, but this appears to be Jack Cohen's job entering this season, and that's really not a huge surprise. I know a lot of people are bemoaning Wisconsin for going this route, and they're saying that Graham Mertz is the future, why not play him now? Jack Cohen has shown a lot here over this offseason, building upon last year. I kind of equate it to what the Packers went through when Aaron Rodgers went down and Brett Hundley was thrown into the mix. You could tell that Hundley was not ready to play NFL football, that he did not do enough to prepare himself for that job. Jack Cohen, to me, looked the same way last year, because Wisconsin was, in theory, going to redshirt him last year, but then with the issues with Alex Hornibrook, they had to force Cohn to play because Cohn was the best option to win. And I think that Jack really got some valuable experiences last year. He played so-so. He had some good moments. The fourth quarter against Purdue, he played well to help Wisconsin win that game. Certainly in the bowl game, playing close to his hometown, he played well. But for the most part, it was just kind of average. And I think Cohn took that to heart, and he has built upon that. And he has looked better entering this season than he did a year ago. I don't know if he's a championship-level quarterback yet for Wisconsin. Time will tell, certainly, with this first month of the year. But I think he's in a better spot than he was a year ago. Now, getting back to Mertz, Mertz has done some very good things since he arrived here. You can tell that he has all the intangibles that you want in a college-level quarterback. I just think that he's just not quite there yet with what Wisconsin is hoping to accomplish this year. And that he's kind of just going to be waiting in the wings a little bit as maybe the two or the number three quarterback, because Chase Wolf had a very strong fall camp. I will say this, though. Jack Cohn's job is not cemented, because remember, Mertz can play up to four games this year and still retain a year of eligibility.
Yep.
Don't be surprised if Wisconsin maybe tries to push him into some games this year to get some experience to kind of build him for the future, or if the struggles happen for the second half of the season.
Just don't want to see quarterback carousel, where it's like every week, oh, when is Burt's going to get there? Is Cone going to be the starting quarterback? I don't think this team needs that.
No, they don't. And the way that you solve that is you have one quarterback play well and really master that job. And I think what we saw last year was a junior quarterback who had such high expectations not live up to them and kind of peaked. He kind of peaked his sophomore year and never really got any better for Wisconsin, and actually regressed last year. And so Jack Cohen, like I just said, didn't look ready to play. And it was just a hot mess last year with the offensive line not achieving what they wanted to achieve. The wide receivers underperformed. The only thing that looked really good last year was Jonathan Taylor. And so now this year you go into a year where your offensive line is being rebuilt. I mean, you're really going to have really three full-time new starters at that spot, at both guards and right tackle. You know, the wide receivers are back. You're going to have Quintez Cephas back, so that's a big addition. The tight ends have been just ravaged with injuries throughout this camp, and so that's going to be a kind of a storyline to watch. But you still got Jonathan Taylor, and when you have Jonathan Taylor doing the things that he's done over the first 2 years, you have a good chance to be a very productive offense. And the defense, I think the defense got beat up a lot last year. Part of it was injuries, part of it was inexperience. The defense looks, I think, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say they're a solid 7 right now. I think that this team defensively has a chance to be good, maybe grow into very good. And I think that will help this team maybe erase some of the mistakes that they weren't able to erase a year ago.
Ben, last question. Badgers obviously 19th in the AP Top 25 preseason poll. Is that too high, too low, or about right for this team? What are your expectations?
I think it's about right. Yeah, I don't think, you know, I think, you know, these preseason polls are mostly based on what have you done for me lately.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Wisconsin just won 8 games a year ago, they've been very good over the last 5 to 10 years. They've been very good under Paul Chryst. I mean, Paul's record at Wisconsin is, you know, I don't even know what you can say about it. I mean, he went 10-3 his first year with a team that his cover was very bare. The second year, they went 11 games against a very tough schedule. And then, you know, 2 years ago, they were a touchdown away from being undefeated and going to the college football playoffs. So you look at this team, they return a lot. They have a lot of key pieces. I think Jonathan Taylor being on that team will boost this team up a couple ranking points. But, you know, I think they're going to be a decent team this year, probably 8-9 regular season wins. I don't think they're going to really contend for a Big Ten championship at this point. Can they win the Big Ten West? Yeah, maybe, but I think the West is going to be very competitive this year. And Wisconsin's schedule is tough. Michigan at home, at Ohio State, Michigan State at home, at Nebraska. You know, Purdue's getting better. Iowa is always a tough team. Northwestern, like Chuck mentioned at the top of the segment, has always been a thorn in Wisconsin's side, especially here recently. So it's going to be a tough schedule. It's going to push this team. But you know, the start of the year, 17 in the USA Today poll, 19 in the AP poll, I would say that's about right. And, you know, good thing is, a week from Friday, they'll start to prove that on the field in Tampa.
Ben, are we overrating Nebraska a little bit? I feel like Scott Frost, I mean, he did a great job year one, but are we overrating him a little bit? I hear everybody talking about Nebraska. They really haven't proved a whole lot, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think people look at what he did the second half of the year once the team finally got over the hump and won a game. And I think they went, 4-2 down the stretch,
yeah.
And they played some pretty good football. And you know, Scott Frost, again, it's about reputation. And what have you done for me lately? It's not so much Nebraska, it's more Scott Frost, what he did at UCF with that program leading them to the undefeated season. And then you're certainly taking over a tough situation at Nebraska with all the different personnel movements and then the struggles to get that first win and then kind of figuring out the second half of the year. Is it a little overhyped? Yeah, probably, because that's Nebraska's fan base. They're a passionate fan base. They really believe that Scott Frost is going to be the Messiah that's going to lead them to the promised land. But, you know, I think the West is just going to be really tough. I think it's going to be a four-team race with Wisconsin, Iowa, Northwestern, Nebraska. You know, Minnesota is going to be young, but, you know, Minnesota's got some mojo because they got Paul Bunyan's axe in the locker room. And then Illinois is just going to continue to be pretty much the Big Ten West bye week. Week in and week out. So it's going to be a tough division, and I think Nebraska's got a chance to maybe surprise me. I forgot Purdue. Purdue with them being able to retain Jeff Brohm for another year, and I think that they're going to take a step forward. So it's going to be a tough division. It's going to be a fun fun division race this season, and I don't know if the division winner is going to have much chance against the winner of the East, but that's a long way off from now.
Thanks a lot, man. You have a good day.
Take care, guys.
That was Benjamin Wargle. You could find his work at badgerswire.usatoday.com. Ooh, almost sneezed there. He covers Wisconsin football, basketball, and recruiting, and he joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Then look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.